Thank you for that. If you've got a Bible, you may want to have it. We will be looking at that passage shortly, but I will be flicking around several other passages as well. Hopefully some of them will be on the screen, but you might want to sort of just check it out a bit. So let's just pray as we ask God to speak to us. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that you want to speak to each one of us. Help us to have our hearts and our minds open to your word, to your prompting, to your touch. In Jesus' name. Amen. Brilliant, thank you. So I'm sure that at some point, all of us have been able to share in the excitement of young couples as they wait for the birth of a baby. And over these few years, lots of people are able to find out whether they will have a baby girl or a baby boy, and that helps in preparation with thinking about a name and painting the nursery and in the things that they want to buy. Can we go on to the next picture? Yeah, baby. Nothing to do with me, that one. Just a random baby off the internet. But apart from whether it's a baby girl or a baby boy, and the approximate date of birth and the planned place, that's all you know in advance, isn't it? And you only tend to know that a few months before the birth. And it may work out as planned, or it may not. Thank you. But to be able to know that a baby boy would be born, his name, his place of birth, his ancestry, as well as the circumstances of his birth, well, that's all rather remarkable. And to be able to accurately predict this hundreds of years before the birth, in my mind, can only make it a work of God. Right at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 1, verse 22, after Mary has found herself pregnant, after Joseph has been visited by an angel, Matthew writes, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet." If we can go on to the next. Thank you. Through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And we've just sung those words in the second verse of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We sang, "Offspring of a virgin's womb, Jesus our Emmanuel." And this, as Matthew points out, is a prophecy. It's a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And that was made more than 700 years earlier. And there could have been a partial fulfillment of this prophecy at the time. But there is also a much deeper and a much more important fulfillment to come. And that came in the birth of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And Matthew tells us on at least 12 occasions that what happened took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. And there appears to be at least 300 distinct prophecies in the Old Testament, and they find their fulfillment in Jesus, in his birth, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. There's 29 prophecies that are fulfilled in one day, the day that Jesus died. Right from Genesis, the first book of the Bible, through to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, there's many references referring to the coming Messiah, prophecies that find their fulfillment in Jesus. Now, even if Jesus has set out to fulfill these prophecies in order to say that he was the Messiah, It is statistically impossible to do it. In somebody who's got a far greater mathematical mind than me has worked out that the chances of Jesus fulfilling just 8 of these prophecies is 1 chance in 10 to the power of 7, which is that with all the noughts on, whatever that is. But we know that Jesus didn't just fulfill 8 of them. Jesus fulfilled all of them. And actually, Jesus didn't have much control over his birth through Mary and putting the star in the sky and being arrested. The wise men followed that star. They went long distance, and they said in Matthew 2, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship." And Matthew uses Micah 5, verse 2, to tell us that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. He would be a ruler, a king. And the leading scholars in those days were experts. They were experts in the Old Testament scriptures, and Herod called them, and Herod heard from them. They had no hesitation in saying where his birth would take place. They knew this passage clearly stated where the Messiah was to be born. And the wise men, well, they followed that star because it had been prophesied back in Numbers 24. "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel." Lots of prophecies in the Old Testament fulfilled by Jesus. And unfortunately, Herod, well, his response as he slaughtered all those boys under 2 in Bethlehem, that also led to fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy. Jeremiah's prophecy that Matthew quotes, Matthew 2, verse 18, and Jeremiah 31. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Now, originally, that prophecy was to do with mothers in Israel as they lamented when their sons were deported to Babylon. But it was also brought to pass through Herod's rage. And the fact that Joseph and Mary took Jesus and they fled to Egypt, that may fulfill another prophecy. In Hosea, we read, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." Some of these prophecies were partially fulfilled at the time they were spoken out, but it was only in Jesus that they were completely and perfectly fulfilled. Now, the baby again. Now, while we can tell the sex of a baby a few months before it's born, what we can't do is tell anything about its character. We can have a good guess what a newborn baby may turn out to be like. You know, they may have the stubborn traits of their father, or they may be just perfect like their mother. But that's only sort of guesswork. There is no certainty. But with Jesus, not only are there prophecies about the physical situations he's going to find himself in, there's also prophecies that tell us about his character and what he will achieve during his mission. And we saw that in the passage that Melody read earlier, Isaiah 9, verses 2 to 7. Now, at the time, Ahaz, he was king of the people, and he was heading them towards disaster. And in that desperate time, Isaiah gives this prophecy that we've heard. He gives this vision of a bright and glorious future. A king will come from David's line to rule in peace and justice forever. Verse 6 tells us that he will be born and he will be a child. This Messiah will come into the world like each one of us, human. But he will also be a son given, a gift from God, the fully God bit of the Messiah. We start to see the humanity and the deity of Jesus. Jesus was going to be king. He was going to rule, and the government would be on his shoulders. He was going to rule over God's people. Again, in Micah 5, it says that there will be a ruler in Israel, and he was going to rule over the entire world. Zechariah 14 says, "The Lord will be king over all the earth." The government on his shoulders. As king, he would have worn a kingly robe. In Isaiah's days, the kings were somewhat incompetent in governing the people. And so they were looking forward to a righteous ruler who would free the people and the nation. He would free them from famine and from war. And he would lead them to safety and a long life. And he's going to be called Wonderful Counselor. He's going to be exceptional. He's going to be distinguished. He will be the person that people will gladly listen to. He will have authority. And his teaching is going to reveal God's way forward. Earlier in Isaiah, he says, "Come, that he may teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." That's Isaiah chapter 2. And he's going to be called Mighty God. That isn't just God-like, but somebody who will do what no other person has been able to do. He's going to take away the sin of the world. And he will do that through his death and his resurrection. He will be called Everlasting Father. Jesus is fully God. And therefore, he has the same characteristics that we attribute to God the Father, including he is eternal. His relationship in time, he has always been. And then in Samuel 2, there's a promise from David that says, there's a promise to David that says, "Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." And this is what the people have been hoping for and waiting for and praying for. And he will be called Prince of Peace. Not just an absence of wars, but a fulfilling of peace. A time when people can have a meaningful relationship with God because of Jesus' death and because of his resurrection, paying the price for our sin. Isaiah declares in this passage that Christ will establish his reign in one coming. And that's the meaning of Advent, coming. And it happened, thank you. It happened, just as he said. The promises came true. And with Christmas coming, in case you haven't noticed, we are preparing to celebrate. We're preparing to celebrate that first coming of Jesus as a baby born in a manger. But we also need to be prepared for the time when Jesus will come again. Thank you. He said he will. He says in John's Gospel that he will prepare a place. He will come back to take us to be with him. There will be a time of judgment when Jesus returns. And this time he won't return as a seemingly helpless baby, but he will return as the risen, glorified, sovereign Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. And we're going to have an opportunity to make a sign of that, really. as a sign of being prepared, as a sign of getting ready. We're going to have the chance in a few moments to receive anointing with oil. Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, meaning the anointed one. It's a translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, and both words are closely related to the verb to anoint. And so we're going to offer the opportunity for each person here, if you want to be anointed with oil, as a response of all that God's doing in your life, as a response, as a sign to say that you want to be ready for his coming, both at Christmas and his second coming. And if you want to receive that, then please, we're going to do some worship songs in a moment. There will be people up at the high altar and at St. Catherine's. And please, during the worship time, we will play and sing a few songs. There will be music to begin with so that the band can go forward for anointing if they want. And then we will stand and sing worship songs. And if during those you feel you want to come forward to be anointed, please do come. There will be four people up there. There will be an opportunity to receive this. And if you want prayer afterwards, there will be people from the ministry team who will be available after the service. We're going to start with a short video clip first in a moment, but let's just pray as we offer ourselves afresh to God. So we'll pray. There will be a video clip when the band can go forward if they want, and then we will join together in worship and anybody can come forward for anointing. Lord God, we thank you for your word through the Old Testament prophets that points so clearly towards Jesus, the anointed one, the saviour of the world. Help us now to be prepared and to be ready for his return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.